we'll come to the Lord and do our best to obey. Amen? Amen. Say, Father, let the anointing open my ears.
Open my
heart.
Open my understanding.
So that your word can come to life today. Because I don't want to leave without a change. Amen? Not just for the sake of change. So I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 4, because that's where he pressed me to go this morning. Now, those of you who were here earlier know about my mom having a hip replacement, or rather hip adjustment, because they had to put a rod down her left hip bone going down, and they did it within an hour. Yesterday noontime, she fell Friday night, and obviously had to be brought to Wing Memorial. They did the work yesterday. I was with her for breakfast this morning. She was well. I saw her last night. She was still recovering from, obviously, the surgical procedure. But we're giving all the glory to the Lord, because at 93, she went through with flying colors. So that's telling you something. So I want to thank the saints who obeyed and interceded for her as the press came. And I was told by the Lord, you don't need to pray because the workers are on the job. So I want to thank the workers, okay? I think those are the muscle men. Chapter 4, verse 1, the priests and the captains of the temple guards and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John. While they were speaking to the people, they were greatly disturbed because of the apostles. Apostles means sent ones. And they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Well, guess what? When good news happens, there's usually somebody that gets upset. So these are the ones that are getting upset. Did you see who's getting upset? The religious folks. The Sadducees. Now, here's what they did. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. What a wonderful opportunity to get inside of the hierarchy by going to jail. You say, wait a minute, doesn't make sense. Could God get Peter and John to intercede for their captors if they had not been captivated? They probably wouldn't have cared less. But the bottom line is, I am absolutely convinced that Peter and John went to war against the darkness in that jail. Now, they had been accused, but watch their reactions. Verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? So I'm sure that they were emphatic. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to say that word. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't go on his own steam. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, would you just kind of close your eyes for the moment and say, Lord Jesus, if I get arrested and I'm brought before the rulers, God will fill me with the Holy Spirit. And when I need to defend myself, He'll fill my mouth, because His Spirit is God's Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that came to Jesus and changed his life dramatically. And he's doing the same inside of me. Got it? Say, I want to own this, Lord. Amen? Now, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, that you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. By the name of Jesus Christ, a cripple came out of his infirmity. Then they went one step further. Verse 11. He is the stone you builders, not somebody else, him, them, you builders, rejected, which has become the capstone. Then verse 12 is absolutely awesome. It says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Cut and dry. No combination of, you know, explanations. It's the facts, bottom line, and it's the only way to go. So, verse 13 I think is kind of cool because it's kind of showing you what these learned men have to put up with. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Is that what your Bible said? Unschooled, ordinary men. How about ordinary women? Ordinary, unschooled, doing a job for who? Doing a job for God. Now, would you do me a favor? Would you kind of put your hand on your right part of your heart there? Say, Lord Jesus, even if I'm unschooled, unlearned, and ordinary, in the eyes of those that look at me, I am more than capable to declare the truth of God and release healing to those that God tells me to pray for. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, they will be healed. So I'm waiting for my instructions. Lord Jesus, send me when you're ready. I'm already ready. I'm ready to go. I'm good to go. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, I remember in my own awkward way, when the Holy Ghost started to use me, I was 37 years old. And as far as the hierarchy of men in my day, I wasn't educated. But God educated me real fast. And I can remember the first time that the Holy Spirit came down on a couple. My wife and I and a couple of others were praying, and we were in a little foyer. And we anointed that person with oil. And all of a sudden they lost their legs and down they went like a piece of brick. And we were astonished. God! I mean, in my experience, only the hierarchy had an opportunity to anoint with oil. Those highly educated people. And I'm not picking on them now. I'm not picking on them. But my unbelief that he could use an ordinary man like me, unschooled in their schools. I hadn't gone to their seminary. Maybe God had a plan to keep me out of that cemetery. That's right. That's what I called it. Because it's for dead men. Because they come out, most of them, more dead than when they walked in. Because they are convinced that the only way to do things is like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Because we have the same brand today. The same identical thing happens today that happened 2,000 years ago. Things have not changed. We've still got religious people doing religious things for the purpose to satisfy the souls of men. I stress the word, the souls of men. The mind, the will, and the emotions. Not the spirit of men. The souls of men. And most people walk around in that state believing they're okay with God. And they really are convinced. But the Holy Ghost has got his fire inside the church. And he's going to keep burning that which needs to be burnt away. And he's going to give life to those that are ready to receive it. And he's not going to pull them all out. He's putting many people in different churches for his purpose. And he's bringing people to life and light in the midst of their darkness and their unbelief. Because that's what he did with me. He kept me there for many years. To be honest with you, I didn't understand why. Today, I do comprehend it. And today, I say praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, verse 13. When they saw the courage. When they saw the courage. When people see courage inside of you and I to obey the Holy Ghost. What happens? They get changed. Verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Your critics, those who want you dead, will not be able to accomplish their purpose. Verse 15, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, these irritations? That's my insert in here. They asked, everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle. And we cannot deny it. I hope you have it to underline your section, because you see, what happens is when God does a miracle, no matter how much education your adversary may have, it's going to baffle their minds. It's going to baffle their thinking. Verse 17. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. You see the power of the name of the Savior Jesus Christ? If somebody is so determined that they've got to stop the release of healing, there must be a reason. When you realize that healing is the issue of the day, everybody's talking about the wonderful new plan to save you from yourself by giving you all you need for health care, and I'm telling you, that's hell's care. Now, you may not like that word, but I'll be honest with you, most believers don't go to Jesus first. They go to the pill factory or the drug factory. And I'm not criticizing doctors. We love doctors. We don't have anything against nurses either. But you know what? The doctors and the nurses that are equipped by Jesus Christ to do a work for him will set the captives free every single time. I am not crying out to you that we're anti-anybody. I'm not anti-Obama. I'm looking for the day that he gets changed.
Amen.
I'm looking for the day that he awakens to what he's done. Because he really believes he's doing a kindness to this nation and to its people. Until God gets in the middle, they look okay. I'll guarantee you the Sadducees and the Pharisees were doing fine until Jesus showed up. They didn't have a problem in their case, in their nation. They were doing darn good. Financially, they were awesome. They were doing a great work for God. The only thing is, they didn't know him. And there's a lot of religious people out there that do a great work for God, but don't know the Son, Jesus Christ. Will not acknowledge him, except sometimes in a swear word. Verse 15 again, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. Conferences are happening all over our political arena. I tell you, let them confer. But I'm asking God to invade. I'm asking his fire to enter those that need to have the fire of God within them. And when they do, you'll see how much criticism they get. And if they're criticizing those that are on fire for God and godly ways, they will get slaughtered. And you can see it. Because there's an anger even on those people that advertise that they're working for our nation. Politically, physically, representing all these things that they believe they have an agenda to take care of everybody that's sick and everybody that has a need. Their agenda is great, but it's not God. I believe that when the Holy Ghost comes down inside the church, that the hospitals are going to get emptied. The 1800s and the 1700s. That's what happened in many parts of our world. The Holy Ghost invaded cities. I can remember when Royal Cronquist was still teaching, the city of Spokane, Washington, didn't have one booze joint in it. There was not one person that was sick in the city that wanted to get free that couldn't get free of their sickness because of what God did with one particular church. There was an advertisement paid in the newspapers that they would give anybody $1,000 if they submitted to that committee of wise men and women in God and obeyed what they were commissioned to do. Whatever sickness they had, they would lay hands, they would anoint with oil, and they would intercede until the person was free. And you know what? Nobody ever collected that $1,000. A.A. Allen was the man that God used to change that whole western part of our nation. That was a sample of what's coming down the highway. Do you think you're going to need to be paying for a drug company to keep you alive? Or a pill? You're going to need the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever, because the more we get closer to the finish line, the Holy Spirit and His fire is going to increase. You see, we see many, many things that are like what I shared with you about Mom. She's breaking the records because God has got a plan. Now, I don't know when I'm going to get to talk to those doctors, but I have already a little bit. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God to do the next level. And I promise I will give Jesus the glory. And if they say, oh, he didn't do it, well, he may not have put the rod in, but he sure guided the man with the hand. Amen. You understand?
Amen.
He didn't probably hold a hypodermic needle that gave whatever. But you know what? He was in the background doing what he needed to do. Now, verse 19 is quite important. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight. In God's sight. Judge for yourself. whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Miracles are being prepared in God's little corner, and when He decides to let them out of your heart and impart them to others, they will happen. But the first miracle is let you see yourself as holy, righteous, and loved. You're never going to have an ability to give out any of those things until you are full of it. Full of His love, full of His mercy, full of His fire in your bones to give it out to others. Be ready. Be willing. And be bold. When He tells you to do something, do it. The rest will follow. The Holy Ghost hasn't quit. He's still working. Bow your heads. Father, we trust You to go deeper in me so I can give out what You've already given me. I'm rejoicing this day to go and do what You've commissioned me to do. I promise to give Jesus all the glory. And Father, fill my heart with boldness to declare that those that need salvation, they will receive it, even through my heart, as I lead them to Christ in all boldness. Because He's the only Savior in heaven and in earth. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. And amen.